And on today's Windy City Queercast, life is a drag. That's right, Deb Pierce on with me, and we're talking about an extravaganza that only happens to the drag king world. It's the International Drag King Extravaganza. So on my show, the masculine side in Ken Vegas and the feminine side in Tamale Sepp. It's going to be a fun, fun show, and it's all about drag, honey.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 247. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
All the way from Toronto.
Canada.
Hey, it's like a month away from Halloween. Close,
I know.
Right?
All the plans are in motion. It's a whole week here for Halloween. There is a buzz about the city.
Yeah.
You can feel it. You can feel that fall is in the air. I don't even know what I'm going to wear on stage for Halloween, but I'm sure those queens are out there getting things ready already.
Have you? You don't know what you're going to be this year?
No, I don't. Last year I had the good fortune to have somebody spray paint my face a skeleton, and then I was supposed to be maybe Dracula, then I ended up being like a skeleton in a tuxedo. I'm not sure what it was. I think I'm left to my own devices, which are not always the best ones. So any suggestions?
I think you should go with Sarah Palin, the scariest thing this Halloween season.
She's terrifying.
Yeah.
I'll go with Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin. How's that?
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that you should, yeah. I think
that may be lost on my crowd particularly. I could go
really?
With Stephen Harper, my prime minister, yeah. Because we have an election coming up too.
Oh, you do? We're so American in that way, don't we? We just don't realize anybody else has an election or anything going on.
Yeah.
It's all about us.
Yeah, I know
us.
It's true. Well, you know, what you got, it depends on who down there is in charge of that big White House. It really trickles down to what happens in the world, including war, and we're there with you, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just saw something when I drove in today. We support our Canadian troops. Or we're behind our Canadian troops. And then in small printing it said, and if you're not behind them, stand in front of them if you want. So I guess everyone wants everyone to be behind the war.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Man.
Interesting time of year. Very interesting season change.
Yes.
Are you affected by the season changes?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I've been sick as a dog.
Yes, you have.
And my dog's sitting next to me. She's sleeping
and looking quite
quietly,
healthy, ironically.
And looking healthy. She needs groomed, but that's it. My dog starts shedding in clumps. Like, she just loses, like, puffs of hair. Ugh. So our house has these little clouds of Nilla hair everywhere.
Sponsored by Swiffer.
Yes. Well, she's going to the groomer tomorrow. She'll lose about 20 pounds in hair. But we just had this enormous amount of flooding that came through Chicago and Illinois. And my doctor thinks I have been impacted by the mold count
that sounds
surged.
Really accurate.
And I have a lot of allergies, but when I lived in the South, I was always on medication. And I've been on none since I've moved here, but he and I discussed that I may have to start going on something once I get healthy, that as I've aged, that, you know, this could change, even though I don't feel like this is an allergy place up here, you know? So
what's the date?
The date?
Right now?
It's the date before my birthday.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay. Phew.
And if they're listening to this, it's past my birthday, so.
I was just going to say, so we won't say the date to make it timely, but either happy birthday or happy belated birthday.
There you go. Either works. It's a birthday month. I'm really in it for the month.
Listen, that sounds like a Gemini thing. I can totally get to that.
So it hasn't, this is kind of the first week, and the first week kind of stinks because I'm so sick. So I got
three more.
Well,
you've got to get better. You have to finish up this play and get better. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So another thing you're really excited about this fall is the topic of our entire show, which is drag.
Ah, sookie.
And generally we mean drag queens, I think, when we say drag. But this is all about the drag kings. Tell me what's coming up, Deb Pierce.
Well, I have been drag kinging for over 15 years as Dirk Diggler. I've had many different names. I've had Jack Hammer. I've had Barely Man Enough. I've had Neil, as in on your knees, Neil Diamond. And the latest name that stuck for me as a drag king has just been Deb Dirk Pierce. And I've been performing in drag for so long that I was actually doing it for a couple of years before the first International Drag King Extravaganza in Columbus, Ohio, took place October 15th to 17th, 1999. Hard to believe it's been 10 years, but I'm going to be going down there again. I can't imagine seeing these boys again for the first time in 10 years. And I'm going to be hosting the main event, the main night. I'm going to be co-hosting with two other kings that are a huge part of the International Drag King community. Going to be huge.
It's going to be really big.
It is. It's. Well, I just found out that the venue holds 2,500 people, and KT Tunstall just performed there. That's how big of a venue this is going to be. So not only is it a conference, but it's actually a night of performances, two nights of performances, and I'm doing the Saturday night show. I'm really, really stoked about it. Drag King has given me such confidence to be out on stage. Like, I started with Second City, I've done all the classes, I've done it all, I've hosted lots of events, and thanks to a number of the kings in the king community all over North America, I've had the good fortune to be exposed to being able to go down and co-hosting Washington, you know, Capital Pride in Washington with Bruce Vilanch and Peter Page Emmett from Queer as Folk, and I've gone to New York City, and I've been all over North America just to be hosting all of these great drag king events, and of course other events because of it. But there's something about the drag king community that is just so beautiful, and it's such a wonderful community, and it's so welcoming on so many levels that anything is game, everything is welcome, as long as it's sensitive. I mean, you can't just get up and do any performance and it be accepted. Like, there's a politicism around drag kinging that I don't think drag queens are used to, because I just think their songs don't have the political foundation that a lot of boy songs, boy band songs, or male groups come with. So, you know, there's a time and a place for drag kinging and drag queening for sure, but drag kinging just, it has this international flair when we all come together. I can't imagine what the show is going to be like, and I'm really stoked. Well, and I want to go on a diet because I was significantly thinner thanks to Fen and Ephedra 10 years ago.
That's good. We'll try to get the show sponsored by them. That would help.
Could you? Listen, I've got premature ventricular contractions in my heart from it, but God, I look good.
Yeah. God, what we'll do to look good. You know, it's amazing, too, because there's such a scope that I'm not sure people realize. In this show, we're going to be talking with two of the people who will be performing and enjoying themselves as well at the IDKE this year.
Right.
And it shows kind of the scope and breadth of who performs at these events. We're going to have Ken Vegas.
Yeah, he's huge in the drag community. Huge.
Huge, and from the D.C. area, so we're seeing that people are coming from as far as Toronto to Chicago to D.C. And around the U.S. In for this. Ken Vegas is going to be on the show talking about kind of the more masculine side of drag and how he came to perform for the first time It's how many of us have come to do a lot of things for the first time.
Right.
And also, the other side of the spectrum now, as the drag king community has evolved to include the feminine side, mm-hmm. and burlesque, and opened up its doors. Because if you don't have the femmes all screaming and squealing and gawking, what do you got?
I mean, nothing. That's why we do it.
There you go. So, Miss Tamale Sepp, if you're in Chicago, you have seen her in a bar. Tamale Sepp on the show as well, talking about IDKE. So, we're going to take a real quick break, tell you what's going on the stages here in Chicago, because the boards are heating up, as they say. And then we're going to be back with Ken Vegas and more on the International Drag King Extravaganza. I love an extravaganza.
Me too. It's so gay-tastic.
Now the movie thrilled millions. The legendary soundtrack won a place in our hearts forever. And now the unforgettable story of Baby and Johnny comes alive in a must-see theatrical phenomenon. And now this is Dirty Dancing, the classic story on stage, and it's coming to Chicago. Exploding with heart-pounding music, sensational dancing, and breathtaking emotion, this worldwide stage hit will have its U.S. premiere at the Cadillac Palace Theater.
Watch me now.
Dirty Dancing begins performances September 28th. Get tickets now at BroadwayInChicago.com and have the time of your life at Dirty Dancing.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 22nd, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Remy Bumpo Theater presents the Chicago premiere, The Voisey Inheritance by Harley Granville Barker, adapted by David Mamet. When do-gooder Edward Voisey learns of shady dealings within the family business, he is determined to set things right, but the rest of the family has other plans. The Voisey Inheritance is playing through November 2nd at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets, visit remybumpo.org.
Playing now, Court Theater in Hyde Park is proud to present the Chicago premiere of Tony Kushner's Caroline or Change, starring E. Faye Butler. The Boston Globe calls its award-winning musical a masterpiece. For tickets and information for Caroline or Change, visit courttheater.org.
Don't miss Turn of the Century, this season's star-studded musical by the writers of The Jersey Boys and directed by Tommy Toon at Goodman Theater. Jeff Daniels and Rachel York star in this romantic romp through time and the American Songbook. Tickets on sale now at goodmantheater.org.
The most successful rock and roll musical of all time, Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, is now playing at Drury Lane Water Tower, featuring classics like La Bamba, That'll Be the Day, Chantilly Lace, and Peggy Sue. For information, call the box office at 312-642-2000 or visit Ticketmaster.com.
At Northlight Theater this Halloween season, one man's nightmares come to life in the classic psychological thriller Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. This fiendishly clever new adaptation will thrill audiences with the startling truth that there's a little Hyde in all of us. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is playing through October 26th. For information, visit northlight.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
It's going to be one of those nights with Kathy Griffin.
This is the hot ticket, am I right? This is it.
The outrageous Kathy Griffin, live.
You know, my mom thinks that I'm going to lose everything and then we're both going to have to live in her car and eat dog food.
Kathy Griffin.
She's sitting there with her Target bag. And when I say Target bag, I don't mean a purse that she purchased at Target.
October 14th through the 16th, and now a fourth and final show, Sunday, October 12th at the Chicago Theater.
I got a billionaire who doesn't care about money. Oh, yeah, you know what he does with his money? He, what's the expression? Helps people. I know.
Everyone's favorite D-list star, Kathy Griffin.
All new. That's right.
October 14th through the 16th, and now a fourth and final show, Sunday, October 12th at the Chicago Theater. Tickets for the October 14th show are still available. Tickets for October 12th show are on sale Friday morning at 10 at the box office, Ticketmaster, or online at LiveNation.com. Produced by Live Nation and Madison Square Garden Entertainment.
As you know, today's show is all about the Kings and the big 10th annual International Drag King Community Extravaganza. It's one of my favorite words, extravaganza, is just around the corner, October 16th through 19th in Columbus, Ohio. The King Circuit has changed dramatically over the past decade, and all of my guests today are kind of helping me take that journey of change and evolution of the drag king world. And I'm thrilled to have on the show Ken Vegas, a celebrity among the king world, a member of the very popular DC Kings. They throw their own party in DC, which I'm sure Ken will talk about. Ken's been photographed, performed, made the name of Kings very loud from coast to coast to squealing women everywhere. Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me, how do you define drag?
As specifically drag king or just drag in general?
If there's a specific way to do it differently, then do it either.
Okay. Drag king is commonly known as male impersonation performed by female-bodied people. But that was originally the intent. And then it has grown to be more of a genderqueer kind of performance where people, however they identify, I think that's more the key, can express themselves how they wish. And it's kind of opened up a door for, I think, a lot of people who didn't feel like they had a voice when drag queens were in the main, we're the only ones doing drag. It's kind of expanded to just encompass anyone who feels the need to express gender however they feel, and that includes bio queens, trans men, drag kings, gender queers, you name it, and that kind of all fits under the umbrella of drag king. But so
definitely the changes that have happened in our GLBT community to include gender identity in a more fluid sense, including what has come about with the trans community has now found its own footing within the drag king world.
Yes, definitely. And I think a lot of trans men have found their courage to become fully trans after experiencing being drag king.
So how did you start doing drag?
As a dare.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was back in 1996, the Lesbian Avengers had a fundraiser for their annual Dyke March that happens in the spring. And Cheryl Ann Spector, who became a DC King years later, she told the Lesbian Avengers about drag kings that she saw in New York, Moby Dick and Dredd, at Wigstock. And she said it would be a great opportunity for DC to kind of shake things up and try something new that's kind of sexy and different, and it perhaps would, you know, give a voice to a lot of butch women who were in D.C. And at the time, I identified as soft butch or kind of borderline femme, if you will, and wore a lot of makeup. Just completely different than I am now, I guess. But so I had a friend of mine, and I wasn't really part of the scene, per se. I was just, you know, I just went out to clubs, but I didn't really know anybody, and I had a friend of mine dare me to do this drag king contest, and I did it, and I had so much fun doing it that the audience liked me the best, as well as the judges, and the feeling was so intoxicating and so good that I just was hooked. I wanted to do as much drag as possible, and it kind of brought out the performer side in me, and it kind of actually collided a lot of worlds, which is feeling attractive to women, which I never really felt like they wanted me or whatever. I guess I was riding the wrong side of the fence. I was more femme looking, and I liked femme girls, but once I looked butch or looked like a guy, they really were after me, and I was like, okay, maybe there's something to this. And then, performing and then lip syncing and dancing and, all these things that I really loved doing in the comforts of my living room, and I could do it out in public and actually, be validated for it, and I thought that was really cool.
What were those early influences? I mean, and I'm sure that has morphed throughout since 1996, since Adair, but what have been those influences for kind of like your look, your persona, even in choosing your name?
Well, originally my only contact to real influences were the Kings in New York, Lizarachi, Dredd, and Moby Dick. You know, I actually took a trip up to New York the following summer just to see what these guys were doing, and just to get some flavor, because DC really didn't have any forefront performers. We were still just all amateurs and just kind of figuring out what the hell we were doing on stage. And so, yeah, I looked to Dredd for his style. He always wore like these really awesome outfits, and he had a very tight beard. And he was actually the first drag king who ever put facial hair on my face. Before that, I always painted my face with a pencil. Mm-hmm. and I also looked to Lizarachi for kind of like his cool, just relaxed kind of performance style and just his attitude in general. I really thought he was a good role model for me as being a gender fluid performer and also person, you know, mm-hmm. just really cool. And that kind of shaped it, but I didn't really feel like any of this made sense to me until like I went to my first IDKE in 1999, and actually Lizarachi was the one who told me about it. And this is before the internet. This is when you wrote in that you're interested, and they sent you a pamphlet. You know, asking for
the olden days.
Yeah,
the olden days have become 9 years ago.
Exactly. And I went for the first time, and I got to meet Flair, and I got to meet the Toronto Kings and the Columbus Kings, and you know, basically kings from all over. And I was just totally floored that there was, you know, a community out there who was disconnected until IDKE, you know, that believed in the art of performance and validating one's desire to, you know, to be a drag king, I guess, and there was a whole crowd out there that really wanted to see it, and it was just so cool. It was really mind-blowing.
Now, with in the drag queen world, which many people may be more familiar, just because there's probably more drag queens used in, you know, there's been films made about drag queens and all of that that have been major mainstream motion pictures, Priscilla Queen of the Desert and things like that. There's kind of always this persona too, because there are so many illusion drag queen bars.
Right.
Is that a big component in the king world, or did it used to be and now it's not so much, that you would impersonate a particular male celebrity or singer?
I really think that attitude is determined on the city and also the influence of that city. I have experienced, you know, hearing stories about drag kings whose only opportunity to perform is in a drag queen bar. And they tend to take on the drag queen ideas of impersonation and, you know, dressing a certain way with the lots of, like, flamboyant outfits and just kind of being larger than life, like the general, I guess, perception that that's what drag queens' goals are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just, that attitude is really a product of the drag queens kind of, you know, taking up all the space. Mm-hmm. But then you have DC, which we've been really blessed with having clubs just want to have drag king nights and not mix it up with drag queens, so we could discover our own language and our own ways of performing and our own kind of way of community. Mm-hmm. And I think specifically in DC, I don't feel like a huge influence of the drag queens in terms of how the drag kings have developed. If anything, I think I've kind of gone the route of trying to figure out what the healthiest route for drag performance is, because I've seen a lot of examples of drag queens being insecure and taking out that insecurity on other performers and creating very unsafe space. Mm-hmm. But I've also met a lot of drag queens as well who have been very positive role models, and I looked at them as like what to do and how to keep, you know, how to keep clean and not get involved in the drugs and the alcohol and just, you know, be a hard worker and just try to do your best out there. And those people are the ones that I've gravitated to.
Yeah.
But I have actually...
Sorry, go ahead.
I actually have met drag queens along the way who envied the way the drag king community works in terms of having a place where everybody's supportive of each other and pats each other on the back and says good job, and you know, and really, and just really creates a safe space for drag versus, you know, trying to win competitions and just trying to be the best drag queen. Because at the end of the day, there's always going to be somebody younger and better and fiercer that comes out of the box. And I think the most important thing I have found, and the only reason why I still do this, is to have a space where, you know, I don't have to worry if my fellow performers have my back or not. You know, like I know that they do, and I know I have their back, and everybody gets along, and it's a good feeling.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, this is a total outsider perspective, but, you know, I've talked to people for over 10 years as well within the community. And it just seems like what the drag king circuit has done has really pushed a more political kind of edge to their performance that I feel like now we're seeing in more of the drag queen world, where it's more genderqueer performance art, or it's moved into an arena now that's not quite so much about just about illusion or just comedy, which, you know, there was kind of, you had to pick in the drag queen world. Like, were you funny and not that attractive, or were you great at really convincing the illusion? And it seems like the drag king world has really put more of a political question of fluidity of gender and all of that out there that I am now seeing echoed more, I guess, in a more performance art way in the drag queen world, which I think is really great that they are looking, you know, to the drag king, drag kings, and seeing. Although I do hear that you perform a very convincing George Michael, and since he made his U.S. world tour, has he been making appearances with you of late?
Every once in a while, I'll do George Michael, but it's more of a, I don't know, I guess a spoof, and I guess, I don't know, with the facial hair and the sunglasses, I can make a pretty convincing George Michael, but I tend to try to stick to my my own persona and dip into ideals of masculinity versus just actually doing straight up impersonations of particular people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what is the loungy, you know, got, you know, he's older, but, you know, he still thinks he's sexy. What does that guy look like?
Yeah. Like, well, it's interesting because Kelly Lynch, I'm curious as to your kind of temperature on what you thought of her on the L Word, her character of Ivan, and finally giving some props to the King world. Were you impressed with what Kelly Lynch did, or?
I think, and forgive me, I'm not a big L Word fan.
That's okay.
And it's not.
I'm not either. I just, you know, we're looking for those representations wherever we can, so we just haven't seen many of them.
I think from a production standpoint and knowing, like, a little bit about how TV works, is they tried to show as much of a character that the audience can palate, I think. I think it was okay. You know, are you talking about the more butch trans one, or are you talking about the early one that was,
I'm talking about the character of Ivan that was seemingly a fairly trans fluid character that Kelly Lynch portrayed.
And this was the early on trans character.
Yeah.
Who freaked out when her partner or her girlfriend saw her stuff out on the,
Yeah, which, I mean, that aspect of it is neither here nor there, but I just meant more actually seeing, you know, an actress take on that role, I thought was pretty cool, just because we haven't seen it, you know?
You kind of have to start somewhere, you know? Like, you can't just jump in and have, like, a very, you know, convincing butch woman take on the role and, like, and not consider, like, the audience that the L Word tries to attract. I mean,
exactly.
I could see why they picked her, and, you know, and I guess it was okay. I just, you know, from a person who actually lives it, I'm just like, okay, well, you know, eventually maybe they'll get to a point where they can be honest about how it really is. But, you know, if this is the best they can do for now, then fine. Yeah. You know, at least people are getting exposed to it.
What are you looking forward to about IDKE this year for yourself?
Seeing everybody again. It's like the annual reunion of seeing all these, you know, genderqueer, gender activists, gender performers, gender supporters, drag king supporters even, getting together and just, like, celebrating and having conversation and you know, having workshops and showing awesome performances that are, like, mind-blowing and just kind of, you know, just experiencing this really unique environment where people truly are given permission to be themselves and share themselves with each other and share their stories and their perspectives on, you know, on life and politics and gender and sexuality and all this stuff. It's just so cool. You know, I've personally grown a lot in terms of what IDK has offered and you know, having a place where everybody gets together and shares their views. And it's definitely helped me grow and how I've come to see the world and how I've come to perceive things in a more, I think, educated and sensitive way.
What would you say to somebody who's ever thought about trying it on for size and strutting their stuff on a stage as a king? What would you say to them? And where would you tell them to go to kind of get information?
Well, the DC Kings actually pride themselves on being that space or that place for people to just try it out. That's how we've come to see over 160 performers or drag kings through that have kind of walked, who've come through the gates of the DC Kings. And, you know, we have a drag king packet that we give people, and we explain, like, how to, you know, put on facial hair, what to do with packing and binding and makeup and, like, where to buy things and, like, costume stores. And, you know, it's just, like, I say go for it. I mean, I'm a real big supporter of anybody who wants to play with gender and try to see what it feels like to be, you know, something they never thought they could be.
And where do people get more information on the DC Kings? And I know you all have a lot of events yourself.
DCKings.com.
There you go. So you're just going to go and have fun this this time around. And are you performing?
Yeah, I am performing. And actually, I'm going to be performing with a DC. She's based out of DC, but her name is Belladonna, and she's a nationally known tribal fusion belly dancer.
Wow.
And I'm trying to bring something that has been kind of new to me in the last year. Like I just came into the world of tribal fusion belly dance since last fall. So
wow.
And I've never seen anything like this in IDK, you know, so I feel like bringing her there and performing with her, and hopefully she's going to be able to do her fire fans on the showcase stage, will kind of open people up to a new kind of performance and a new kind of way of collaborating. So,
well, and yeah. As we come back from this break, we're going to talk with Tamale Sepp. She also brings another facet to the whole drag king world, and it's going to be really interesting to talk about the feminine versus the masculine in the whole circuit. And there's fire involved and hula hoops and burlesque and all of that. Don't think it's just one thing. This whole extravaganzas always have just everything that you can imagine blows your mind. So do not miss. We're going to have more information and more talking about the 10th Annual International Drag King Community Extravaganza. Check out the dckings.com. And Ken, you got your own site too. So shout out what that is.
KenVegas.com.
Excellent. Have fun. I want to see the tribal. I want to see like the YouTube video of the tribal dancing with you.
Okay, thanks.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Every year you make staggering advances in technology, like air, more air, slightly less air, and a separate air chamber for maximum air.
She's gonna blow!
Good ball handling skills, sound fundamentals, a killer outside shot. All completely useless unless we're wearing your sneakers.
I got a 2-inch vertical.
They're designed to last for a decade, which is just about the time we'll have them paid off.
I'm living in my van.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, old Sultan of the sneaker. We may never make a layup, but your shoes will always be a slam dunk.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The ACLU recently filed a suit with Louisville's Human Rights Commission on behalf of three individuals who claimed they were victims of anti-gay harassment while they ate lunch at a Kentucky McDonald's. McDonald's has pro-gay policies. Last year, anti-gay groups called for a boycott of the company because of its involvement with the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce.
The investigation of a recent deadly commuter train crash in Southern California that killed 25 people is focusing on a gay engineer. On September 12th, a commuter train crashed into a freight train. Investigators are focusing on a gay engineer, Robert Sanchez, who was also killed in the crash. The National Transportation Safety Board said that Sanchez never used the brakes before the crash, and they are investigating whether or not he was text messaging during those final moments before the deadly crash.
Brazil's president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, said he supports civil unions for gay and lesbian couples. He said, "There are men living with men, women living with women, and many times they live a balanced and even extraordinary life." He added that as long as gay and lesbian Brazilians respect the Constitution, he is in favor of civil unions.
Britney Spears' new album will hit stores December 2nd. Her sixth album, titled Circus, has Britney teamed up with producers such as Avant and Max Martin, among others. The album's first single, Womanizer, will be released September 22nd.
Hip-hop star and actress Queen Latifah told Rolling Stone that she nearly named her new album The L Word. She joked that she wanted to name her new album that to mess with people's heads. For years, Latifah has had to deal with rumors and speculation regarding her sexuality. "Since people want to play games, I like to jab back sometimes just for fun. But I'm like, nah, that's too much energy wasted," she said. Latifah worked with LL Cool J and Dr. Dre on the upcoming December album.
True Blood creator Alan Ball, who also created 6 Feet Under, said the new HBO drama is not a metaphor for gay and lesbian folks, despite what many have been saying. When asked if vampires are being used to convey a message about gay rights, Ball said, "That isn't so. I really don't look at the vampire as a metaphor for gays," he said, but acknowledges that vampires do work as a metaphor for gays and anyone that's misunderstood.
Former Project Runway contestant Jack McEnroth is launching a national HIV/AIDS campaign. The educational campaign, Living Positive by Design, seeks to combat the stigma associated with HIV/AIDS through thoughtful conversations. McEnroth has been living with the disease for over 20 years. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com. Well, the other side of the drag king circuit might have a more feminine flair, and Tamale Sepp is a fixture at women's circuit parties across Chicago. Whether she's dancing, enticing, or seducing, it's all using her feminine wiles and also her powers. And you know, what is drag about if not about power and seduction, right? So I'm thrilled. I don't know that we've ever had Tamale on the podcast, though she was on Windy City Radio before, to have Tamale on the Queercast. How are you?
Hello there. I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Amy?
I am good. I mean, I can't go to a party that you're not in the center of. Now, I don't go to as many as I used to, but that's because I'm old and working all the time, working for the queers. But But so are you. And when you and I were discussing, you know, maybe you coming on and talking about IDKE, it was kind of like, oh, how does Tamale fit into this world? So I'm going to start with that. How did you come into this drag king circuit, into this world, and where does a femme find her place?
That's an excellent question. I think it's been very interesting for the drag king community in both performing drag, performing masculinity, and having that balance with performing femininity as well. I think what's been interesting in my case is that when IDKE, or the International Drag King Extravaganza, when IDKE was held here in Chicago a few years ago, there were a couple of things that were done for the first time. And one of the things that was very new was that they had not only a drag king host for the showcase, which was held at the Metro, but they also had a more feminine presence as well, and that was me. I was a co-host. So we had a drag king and a burlesque performer basically dual hosting this enormous event, this sold-out thing at the Metro, and it was fantastic. It was the first time that at the main event, the showcase, that there had been kind of an equal balance of both the femininity and the masculinity. And it's interesting, too, because as you can delve into all kinds of into the portrayal of femininity in collaboration with the portrayal of masculinity. You can definitely see a lot of that in a lot of the different performances done by drag kings. And I think it's becoming more popular now. And I think that's just the result of the rise of burlesque performance in general. And then, of course, the merging of those two types of disciplines on stage. So that was, to my knowledge, the first time that at a showcase that there was an equal blend of the performance of masculinity and femininity. And what's interesting was the Chicago Kings had played such a huge role in drag in Chicago for a number of years. And they were just magnificent performers and just incredible to watch. And to have shared that moment in time was extremely special. And then shortly thereafter, after that, then the Chicago Kings disbanded as a group because it was just time. They had the big send off, which with the show off show that they did here. But I noticed that they also had a co-host for that, another performer that was kind of a feminine balance again. So I was really happy to see that the performance of femininity kind of taking place in collaboration with the performance of masculinity on stage.
We kind of have to have the opposites, right? I mean, one says you can't have light without dark. One says you can't have, we have to kind of see the yin to the yang. And if there were just a bunch of kings, not that there couldn't be only that, but obviously they many times are performing for the more femme part of the community. So
right. Interesting
to see that dynamic on stage as well as stage to audience.
Well, I think that it's about performing on stage what is seen in the community, and I think that you appeal to a larger crowd when you incorporate a more open space. So you have these drag kings and burlesque performers, and you see a lot of that now. A lot of the mixing of the different types of performers. I think what's really kind of interesting to kind of take into that is that with drag performances, I would say early drag performances, the portrayal of femininity, it was kind of interesting because it was a topic of conversation, the portrayal of femininity in regards to how it was done alongside the portrayal of masculinity. And the reason why it's so interesting, at least to me, is that oftentimes the portrayal of femininity was in the form of a feminine woman on stage with a drag king, and she was either a prop or she was, she was being, disrespected in some way as kind of a commentary of how, how real life often is. She's not a character. She's a caricature of what women are often portrayed as in more popular mainstream media. So you'll see in those earlier times that I don't think that the performance of femininity was an equal thing. Mm-hmm. It was, a woman was on stage to be gawked at or performed around. Whereas nowadays, I think, especially in the more mainstream drag/burlesque culture, I think that it's far more balanced and the more feminine performers come to the stage as equals, mm-hmm. which me being a part of that is so exciting because now we're performing alongside our drag king performers and able to be more balanced and not perpetuate the things that we often experience, especially as queer women out in the world. I think that that's a really interesting point to make as well.
Hmm. You mean that what we see in a patriarchal mainstream world, we then just we're starting to recreate within our own behind our own closed doors.
I mean, right.
Because that would be the thing, right? That would be the thing
right.
that the butch and the femme is just modeled. Like, couldn't we find a better model than the one we're saying we're rejecting, But then if the butches just want their femmes to be in their place, then what makes it any different? You know, then
Precisely.
Women, trans women, lesbian women, straight women are dealing with in the mainstream world outside our own clubs and bars and events.
Absolutely. And to see that on stage, I think that's really frustrating because, and I have to admit, my first impression of what drag kinging was all about was, oh, great. You know, I don't want to go and watch the worst parts of men on stage. That sucks. Like, I don't want to be, I just, that doesn't interest me. And what I discovered upon really becoming more involved with the drag king community, and especially with events like IDKE, because it is a conference, they have workshops, they have discussions, they have, you know, we touch base on things like that and important topics such as representation and, you know, how people, performers of color, and how we represent them on stage, and how, you know, women are represented on stage, and what performance means, and you know, satire, and all of these very important things, these tools that can be utilized to express how we feel about situations that are social or personal, how we feel about political movements, and those types of things. I think it's very important to be very aware of what we're putting out in the world because, mm-hmm. yeah, okay, so you're a hot butch woman who dresses in drag on stage, and then you proceed to be the worst parts of men. Well, that sucks. I don't want to see that. I want to see you up there. And actually, I have a persona that I do on stage called Cowboy Steve, and he is a gentleman. He treats the women that he shares the stage with courtesy and respect, and he's a gentleman, and that's a direct reflection of how I see drag as a powerful tool, for that matter, for representing, you know, the best in this world. You know, we can do that. We have that power. We're allowed to subvert these paradigms that we see. So
how are you going to be involved this year? I mean, what is IDKE going to be for you? Are you performing? Are you attending seminars? Are you leading a workshop? What will you be doing?
Well, I'm not going to be leading the workshop this year, but I definitely will be performing and attending. I'm co-hosting one of the Dragnum shows. There's if you look on the schedule, and I think you said you were giving the information for the website.
Yeah, want to give it?
Yeah.
Go ahead and give it.
Actually, I think it's IDKEX. Is that right?
That is.
.com. I'm not sure.
.com.
Oh, excellent. That's .com. So IDKEX.com is the website that you would want to check out. And they have a complete listing of all the workshops available and the schedule for the event, the list of events for the weekend. It happens October 17th, 18th, and 19th, actually 16th through the 19th.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in Columbus, Ohio this year. It's our 10-year anniversary. It's going to be fantastic. I will be in the opening number for the showcase. And, of course, this is the other thing that's kind of neat, is that coming in with a more feminine energy, I've found other ways to be involved in this that still supports the overall drag king community while adding some diversity. For example, mm-hmm. fire performance is definitely something that I greatly enjoy, and I've been able to bring that to the stage several times. And also working with the Great Big International Drag King Show, which was in D.C., hosted by Ken Vegas, another outstanding drag performer.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then they have, for IDKE, there's the showcase on Saturday, but there are the amateur nights on Friday. And those are a little bit more informal. And you get to see our up-and-coming drag performers who are just phenomenal. Hmm. And then there are, of course, workshops and events to attend, and then followed by the brunch on Sunday to see everybody off. So
now, is this a great place to go with a group of people, or is it a better place? Can you feel comfortable going alone, or what do you think?
Gosh, you know, I would say there is room for everyone at this event. And the cool thing is you can go with your troupe, you can go with a group of friends, you can go by yourself, and just, you know, you're going to get drug into the excitement of the the event. I mean, even if you go by yourself and you're shy, you're going to get drug into it, because it's just such a welcoming community, and just so eager to to inform and teach and include other people, especially people interested in drag performance.
Well, it's amazing. It's the 10th annual, so it's a big year, 10 years, a
yes.
decade.
Yes.
The IDKE, International Drag King Community Extravaganza, October 16th through 19th. It's in Columbus, Ohio. You'll see Ken there. You'll see Tamale there. You'll see our very own Deb Pierce there. There's information, tickets, registration, and listing of events all on their website, which we'll have linked in our show notes, but that's IDKEX.com. Tamale, have a great time and represent for us femmes.
Absolutely. You have a great one, too. It's nice speaking with you, Amy.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know that I've been down this road before.
So, Deb, are you going to perform?
You know, I guess it kind of supposed to be a surprise, but truth be told, yes, we've worked something out with a number of the kings that have been in it for the Drag King Extravaganza right from the start in 1999. So yes, we do have something very special planned. Other than that, I am happy to be there and attend and host and stuff. But yeah, I'll be on stage performing.
Well, it's really, really exciting. And how is the king circuit up there in Canada?
Well, in 93, when I started, it was about 93, we were in the group called the Greater Toronto Drag King Society. And we were supposed to perform at Fashion Cares when Katie Lang was here. That's our biggest AIDS fundraiser for the AIDS Committee of Toronto here every fall. And we got in all the papers. We had all of the big, big, big bars because the gay bars couldn't accommodate the crowd that we wanted. So we were showcasing out to the main bars, the straight bars, whatever. You know, once every 3 months on a Saturday, there would be the Drag King show. And you could say you were with the drag kings because, you know, we all traveled in packs, we traveled in groups, not like drag queens, you know, you can't say the drag queens because there's so many to mention. So, like any good drag king group, we had people sleeping with people, people doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and we disbanded like most groups that I've heard of, unfortunately. Then I continued drag kinging as a solo artist and continued hosting and performing because I wasn't going to let that stop me. And then I was in the Toronto Drag Kings with Drag King Flair, who's actually made a great documentary documenting all of these past 10 years of drag kinging here internationally. It's going to be phenomenal, and it's going to be showing at the conference itself. And,
oh wow!
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And I'm a scrapbooker. I've kept almost, with the exception of the last 6 months since my move, I have kept every bill, every flyer, every picture, every poster that we did as a group together or that I've ever done. I've kept copies of checks that I've done for, you know, I was in Queer as Folk and that kind of thing. I've kept copies of all that stuff. So she actually borrowed it to use in the documentary because I still physically had that stuff dated, you know, September 23rd, 19, you know, 99 or whatever.
Wow.
So that's going to be, that's a really big thing. I'm really excited about that.
Wow. Well, it just sounds like a blast, and there's plenty of time to get your tickets and get your reservations and head on to Columbus, Ohio, to the good old Midwest, where the center, the heartland, they say, of America, and check out what all the King Circuit is still about and how it has evolved, as you've heard in this show. Deb, we will be talking to you again next week.
Amy Matheny, I look forward to it.
And until then, enjoy your crisp fall.
Thank you. I'm enjoying getting my new pants out and my sweaters, but no jacket, just a sweater. I like it.
Do you like a little cardigan?
Yeah, like a little V-neck, a little cardigan with a t-shirt underneath. I love that look.
Very sexy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.